This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Loveline with Dr. Chris starts.
3, 2, 1.
Now.
All right, you're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on Channel Q and Radio.com. Something big going on in the news, really important to break down. Esquire magazine just released a cover. Now, it came out this month, which is Black History Month. It's actually their March issue, which is Women's History Month. But nonetheless, it's a white cis male. And basically, the magazine article is about what it's like to grow up white, middle class, and male in current culture. We have on the phone Zach Stafford, editor-in-chief of The Advocate. Zach, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. I'm good. Thank you for taking time to call in. I know you're a busy, busy guy. Let's jump right into Esquire cover, which, by the way, I actually was first alerted to it on your Twitter account. So thank you for always being up to date with what's going on in the world.
It's my job.
It actually literally is, funny enough, right?
Literally.
So yeah. Break it down for us. I just kind of gave a tease as to how it's Black History Month. Next month is Women's History Month. The article was released, or the cover, this month, but it's for next month. Neither month making it any better. What's your perspective on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think something I was telling my team this morning is that, like, this cover kind of left me aghast, I guess, for three reasons. I mean, the first two of them were what you mentioned. You know, the cover dropped digitally during Black History Month, and it's centering on a white cis man. And the story is by a really fantastic reporter, and it's just exploring masculinity in white male communities that are feeling, you know, very emboldened by Trump, but kind of dealing with identity crisis. And then the other point is that it is actually for the Women's History Month issue, which is crazy to me. But the thing that also is striking is that Esquire, just last month, it came to be known that they killed a story that kind of, through 50 sources, showed that Brian Singer was those allegations that he's been facing about sexual misconduct,
sure,
and abuse were much bigger than we thought. And it was Esquire that had been sitting on the story for over a year and, you know, killed it, and The Atlantic took it, a different magazine. So this is where the story was supposed to be placed, was in this issue. And a lot of us in the media industry had been waiting for the story to come out and then know that the editors there killed it and then replaced it. But this story is kind of, like, baffling, because it's like it hits, like, from queer people to women to everything. We're like, what is going on? Why is this what Esquire thinks is important to be focused on right now?
And what would your answer be to that?
I think you have talked about this a lot before, and we both think about this, is that, you know, we know that we're in this cultural moment where white masculinity is being talked about a lot, which makes people think that we think it's in crisis, and that Donald Trump's really emboldening that idea. But it's not a crisis. A lot of history and psychology and everything has always been centered on white cis men.
Right.
But the fact that we're talking about it doesn't make it a thing that we're trying to erase. We're just trying to recenter other conversations.
I love that word, recenter. It's not about erasing the white cis male perspective. It's not about calling them as problematic as they can be at times. It's just recentering marginal people that have never gotten a focus. And like you just said, this magazine, who could really update themselves, it's the 21st century, like, talk about, you know, a need to be more diverse in their representation, and they kill a story that's, like, queer-centered in service of this crap?
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, with Esquire, what people should also know is that cover was part of a new rebrand on their end. A lot of magazines that are legacy are doing rebrands right now. You know, I was just brought to The Advocate to lead that kind of reimagining of that property. But the fact that Esquire was reimagining the brand, but really just showed us who they've been centering the whole time, was kind of the irony in the media world. And it's also what people, you know, a lot of us in America right now are saying, if we're going to do a cover now of exploring what does the American man mean today, or the American boy, we should be talking about black folks and black violence and Latinx folks at the border. Like, there's so many other types of boys that don't get talked about, but to recenter it on a boy that magazine's really disappointing, I think, to many people.
And I'm also like, I can't help but not put myself in the room when this is discussed. How does this fly by without anyone raising their hand and saying, this is not going to be well received?
That is the question. Every time this happens, I mean, I know Vogue went through this the other day by misidentifying a few Asian women that were very famous. But it's kind of like, this is why that newsrooms need to be diverse. Because you have other voices to talk about and kind of check you on kind of constant norms. Because just 20 years ago, this cover would have been fine. And there would not have been people on social media even challenging it. But because we're in a moment where a lot more voices have a lot more power and a lot more say at the table, we're able to have these conversations. So Esquire is probably thinking, you know, we've done this so many times, what's the big deal? But they didn't contextualize it in this current moment. And it also shows that they probably need to hire more people of color.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And I'm looking at some of the Twitter responses to it, and they're all really clear. They're all really honest. They're all really super, super, super smart. And I guess, sadly, what it leaves me feeling is that this magazine's not for me.
Yeah. And that's also, yeah, and that's what you should probably ask yourself right now. Is like, that editor-in-chief is really standing behind it. Like, he's been very open about, like, I believe in this, etc. And, like, to be honest, this magazine just may not be for all of us. But because of Twitter and because of tweets like mine, it was thrown in front of all of us, and now we're having a conversation.
Yeah, I guess it breaks my heart, because it's kind of what you said. It's like strengthening some of the cultural problems that we're working really hard to dismantle. And it's emboldening, as you said, people that are, you know, part of the Trump culture, and they're kind of like applauding this. And I guess I just lovingly remind people that claim or want to be LGBTQ plus allies, or even, you know, allies against racism, It's on all of your shoulders to really do the work of calling this out. It shouldn't be on us. And that's what, like, always breaks my heart, when it's the minorities themselves who have to beg the majority to please give them some empathy and compassion. And so, to, like, our listeners that are from the hetero community, the white community, the cis community, it's really powerful for us to see you guys calling BS on stuff like this. And so, please, guys, don't just sit on your hands quietly. Like, there's something, you know, something has to be done around this. So, more to come, but I guess it just makes magazines like the one you're the editor-in-chief of, The Advocate, even more important, because it remains to be one of the few sites where people like us can really see our needs met, and that makes me sad.
Yeah,
it probably doesn't make you sad.
I mean, there's a lot of work we need to do in queer media as well, but, you know, when I saw that, I had my own gut check where I was like, okay, Zach, you really got to serve it when you do your cover now.
You really do, though. I mean, that's the beautiful and probably distraught component of this, is like, we then do reflect back on our own community and we're like, all right, here's our big moment. Yep. Like, your next magazine cover better kill it, dude.
Better really do it. Yeah.
It really better. Well, God bless Esquire at the rebranding. Cause as I do look at the cover, this does not make me think of Esquire. Like, that was, I had to do like a double take at first. So, you know, more to come. I kind of do at the same time feel like whatever they release next is going to be very, very telling. And digging deep into this one article that CBS News put out there, they're claiming that it's possibly part of an ongoing series where the next one will maybe focus on another minority. And I'm kind of like, is that a cleanup act where they're trying to like backpedal, or is that really what they were planning on doing? I don't know. So we'll all be watching to see.
Yeah, we'll be watching it. I heard that too, and you know, we'll see. But even if there is a black boy in the next one, they began the series with whiteness, and they should have done better. Because I mean, we've been having this conversation since Mike Brown now for 4 years, 5 years. So like, there's not really an excuse. But
all right. Well, thanks for calling in, man. You have an awesome rest of your night.
You too. Good to talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that's what's going on with Esquire. For those that haven't seen it, Google Esquire on the cover and just kind of check it out. Like I said to Zach, I'm looking at the cover now and it doesn't look like an Esquire magazine. It actually reminds me of kind of like a Boy Scout ad. But sad to see that it's taking the turn it's taken. Again, a lot of people are calling it tone deaf. Again, it's Black History Month. Next month is Women's History Month. It'd be really cool for magazines to be kind of spearheading support around those specific identities and digging deep into representation around the singers, musician, artists, and all the people that are doing really powerful work from those communities and not this random guy. But also to our listeners that are white and hetero and male, this isn't, you know, any knock or opposition against that. It's just what Zach said. We're trying to center minority identity people who never, ever get to be on covers of magazines or in films or get given awards. And we're just trying to create space for everybody. So it truly is about inclusivity and not necessarily trying to put anyone down specifically, but, you know, general psychology and history books and all that have traditionally only centered around the experiences of people like this magazine article is talking about. And so, you know, again, it's a little bit of a slap in the face to some of us. So, like I said, we're going to follow that. More to come. When we come back, we have some amazing guests later in the show tonight. We have Tammy Shackley, who's an LGBTQ matchmaker. And later in the show, we have Margie Plus, who's a musician, activist, style icon. We're going to be sitting down with both of them. You listen to Love Line with Dr. Chris on channel Q and radio.com. We're going to take a little break and we'll be right back.
Call Love Line now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Love Line.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We'll be right back.
Love Line
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we are back listening to Love Line and a little Britney Spears Toxic. It's one of those songs that I don't care where you are, the song comes on and you start moving a little bit. You know what I mean? All right, listen to Love Line on Channel Q and radio.com. This Thursday night, Valentine's Day, what are you going to do? You are going to come hang out with me and Channel Q at the iconic world famous Abbey here in Southern California. If you have plans already, change them. Make it a road trip. Make it a weekend. If you're in LA, come on out. We're going to be at the Abbey. Doors open at 5 p.m. Giveaway specialty drinks. We're going to be playing some games. And more importantly, tonight, callers, two $100 gift certificates to the Abbey. And Thursday night, I'm going to be giving away two tickets to the Robin Show. Give us a call, 833-LOVE-001, 833-LOVE-001. But until then, we have Tammy Shackley, LGBTQ matchmaker on the phone. We have a thousand things to talk about, especially because Valentine's Day is coming. Tammy, how you doing?
So good. Thanks for having me. Let's talk love.
I love nothing more than talking love. So I guess my first, I have a thousand questions first off, but how did you get into this line of work? Because with me specializing in sex therapy, that's everyone's favorite question. And I think the assumption is that I must be obsessed with like sexuality or something. Are you just like love obsessed? Are you relationally obsessed? How did you fall into it?
That's a good question. I was a prolific dater as a straight ally, married once before, divorced, no kids, and I was very private about my love life. So I decided to outsource, hire a matchmaker, and get back to my business. I have a background in news, politics, and philanthropy. Wow. And loved my work. So when I was trying, that's how I met my husband, and I was trying to refer a gay friend years later, and he said, but Tammy, matchmakers don't serve gays. And I said, of course they do. And I started researching to find him a matchmaker, and I was stunned.
I know, that's the first thing I thought. When you just say what you said, I racked my brain of the very few matchmakers I know, and not one of them served the community. I never had really recognized that till right now. Yeah, true.
And I considered it a calling. I thought, what can I bring to the table? Can I help serve the underserved when it comes to matchmaking? And can I bring my experience and help design a company for them, by them? So I did over 3.5 months of one-on-one focus group interviews, initially with gay men and then with lesbian women, to design a company for them, by them, that would be straight ally owned and operated.
I love that. People, I mean, that's fascinating. People might, when you first tell them that, be like, huh, they probably assume that you're gay yourself. That's usually the expectation, that you're gay if you work with the gay community, because no one else would be such a good ally. So I applaud you for that. Thank you. Like, the community needs a lot more resources and people like you. So thank you. So your organization, though, is your organization localized or is it global? How accessible are you for people that might not live in your local area?
Right. We serve clients coast to coast in the U.S., LGBTQ, and we match them with ideally compatible partners.
Tammy, I might be having to hit you up later after the show. I work a lot, and the whole online thing is such a mess these days. So I feel like you probably have a lot of thoughts about that, because a lot of people immediately, when they think dating, they go online, and a lot of people aren't finding what they want because it's not curated. It's just kind of haphazard, where my understanding, and correct this, matchmaking is highly specific, it's individualized, it's curated, you are heavily involved in the selection process. And so that's a really elevated version of dating, yes?
Absolutely. I mean, everyone we introduced from coast to coast had done the same interview via Skype, and they've done the same criminal background check. So we truly know those that we're introducing. And it's across the board. It's LGBTQ. It's looking for compatible partners. And it's based on compatibility. It's not about how tall they are. It's not about how educated they are. It's really in the interview defining what do you want to come home to at the end of the day. What really excites you about another partner that you want to be with for a long, long time? So we essentially do four dates, if you will, in the course of an hour, hour and a half interview, to where we truly know this person and why we think they're going to be compatible with you.
Oh, I like that. And what has been most fascinating that's come out of these interviews? Because that's also a question that I guess I get asked all the time from, you know, as being a therapist, is like, what's the most, you know, shocking story you tell? And I always say to people, well, I don't try to tell the negative components, because those are people's vulnerabilities, right, that they come into my office with. And I don't want to capitalize on that for entertainment purposes. But what are some of the more positive things that you've learned about just, I guess, the community or dating or love? Because I've seen some really powerful examples of love and healing and reconciliation. And so that's a gift that my work gives me. I have to imagine matchmaking has given you something like that.
Absolutely. It's the most fulfilling work anyone could ever do. And here's why. Our clients are as young as 23. They're as old as 77.
Wow.
And they come to us believing in love or hopeful about love. And if they're needing that hope, we're that agent as well, to instill hope that at any age, if you are seeking a special someone in your life, they're seeking you too. And I can promise you that they're looking for you too. They're simply frustrated being single, just like you are simply frustrating being single. So don't beat yourself up over that. And we want to give you hope that they're out there. It may not look or feel, or there may not be fireworks on the first date, but guess what? There's a really good person that's going to be interested in you and fall for you exactly as you are.
Wow.
And no one. Yeah.
That was so well said and so beautiful. I have to put that like on a recording and play that, because you just hit like a couple really important points. Like, number one, yeah, sadly we live in a culture where there's this misunderstanding that at a certain age, people take this idea internally that they're no longer desirable to anyone, or that ship has passed. And I love that you're calling that out, that like, no, there's a multitude of people that are looking for love at every decade of their life, and that would be open to dating these people. Like, desirability can exist at any age. I love that you just said that.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, I've done this for more than 6 years, interviewing LGBT singles every day. And here's what I can tell you. No one has ever, in an hour and a half interview, asked me to meet a millionaire. No one has ever asked me to meet a supermodel. And no one has ever asked me to meet a smoker. So you have to keep.
Wait a minute. That last one is so classic. I love that. I love that. That is so me. I'm always like, my one and only deal breaker truly is you can't be a smoker. Like, I'm sorry, smokers out there. That's hilarious. I'm sorry. That's hilarious.
Well, and I have hands full of clients who have quit smoking in order to be our clients. Because we always say, you have to be the single you want to meet.
Right.
Do you want to meet a smoker? No, I don't want to meet a smoker. It's not good for you. Then you need to stop.
Oh, gosh. I love that. I love that topic. Thank you for bringing that up. So would you say, based on what you've heard, so 6 years, you've kind of gotten to watch some of the trends. Do you think the apps have made it harder to date, easier to date? Do you think that they've made people more hopeful, less hopeful? What impact do you see from that? Because I have to imagine that comes up in conversation with the people you work with.
There is online fatigue, yeah. And there's no question about that. That is trending. I mean, I really believe offline personal matchmaking is the pendulum swing back to how people used to meet. My whole company is about more traditional, I don't say old-fashioned, more traditional introductions, courting, and dating. Slowly getting to know each other, right. Not swipe right, 15 minutes later, bing, bang, boom.
Sure.
It really is, here's a quality single. You want to hang out a couple of times and start to get to know each other? That's how folks used to get to really start a relationship and have a foundation.
Yeah, and I like that. I like that because, you know, again, not to make it about me, but there's a lot of people like myself who work a lot, and our time is really, really valuable when I have downtime. And if I'm going to take time out of my limited amount of downtime to date and take it away from time with friends or family, I want to have a little more trust that it's going to be in service of someone or something that I might be interested in. And so I can see where matchmaking kind of helps, right? Because it does that legwork ahead.
It's the human filter, and everyone's been vetted, if you will. I mean, literally, I mean, if you're out shopping for spouses, which is what we do, it can be a full-time job. And how do you, as a successful professional, spend the time with your friends and family, have your social life, have your passions, hobbies, interests, have your fitness, and still go online and have all these hours that you're supposed to devote to sifting through a lot of good people, but not folks that are truly compatible with you. And so we consider this outsourcing.
Yeah. Beautiful. We're going to take a quick break. Tamu, you hang on with us. I have a few more questions for you. I want to unpack this more. Listen to Love Line with Dr. Chris on channelqradio.com. We're going to take a little break and we'll be right back.
Call Love Line now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Love Line. We'll be right back. Love Line.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Love Line. This is Love Line with Dr. Chris.
On Channel Q.
All right, we're back. You're listening to Love Line. Dr. Chris on channelqradio.com. So we're on the phone with Tammy Shackley, LGBTQ matchmaker. We're talking all things love and dating. All right, so Tammy, talk to me quickly, and then I want to go through some of the more punchy questions. But quickly, you were talking about the interview process and assessing compatibility. So you beautifully laid this out, and I loved it. I love the way you work and your perspective about how, you know, you're not assessing things like height and income, and the clients that are coming in aren't thinking those terms either. They're looking for love and compatibility. So what when you say compatibility, what kinds of topics or ways do you go about trying to assess that?
Be surprised. We really talk about a person's qualities and values. Key, it's more than characteristics. It's key ethics, morals, upbringing. What is the core of this person's character, and how is that going to either mirror or complement mine? Does that make sense?
It totally does. So going to the smoker question, you said no one wants a smoker. Do people come in, and you can pass on this, I know you're in Texas right now, but do people ever come in saying, like, I want a Trump supporter, hook me up with a Trump supporter?
In 6 years, it has only happened three times.
Bless.
In thousands of interviews.
And isn't that what they say down in Texas? Bless.
Bless their heart.
Bless their
exactly.
heart.
Exactly. Bless their heart. And I'll tell you, they have quite intellectual arguments
okay.
as to why that is the case, but they are a little bit harder to set up, I will be honest.
Because if I was working with you, that'd be the first thing I'd say. No smokers and no Trump supporters, period. I don't care what else is going on. Our values do not align. So when I was looking through your Twitter and your page on your site, it was interesting. The whole follow-up piece. So if the dates don't go well, am I correct in assuming that it falls on you to break up with the person for the other person?
You know, we're very kind and compassionate
right.
if one person does not choose to have a second date with the other person. Because we do a live feedback call the next morning after the date.
Okay.
We do everything but go on the date. We set up all the details, make the reservations, everything. And when they call in with live feedback the next day and they say, really, usually very kindly, I'm simply looking for something a little different. And
right.
we drill down on that. And the other person is usually so thankful that it's not wasting any more time.
Well, because we live in a culture where
they always had a lovely time.
Well, most people
just want something different.
Yeah, and most people in our culture currently, and that's why I love that piece about just getting immediate feedback, because people ghost people. They just disappear. They stop responding. You don't know why. You don't even really know. Let me tell you a quick story. So this actually is scary for people to hear. So a lot of people go on dates, things went well, they text, you know, all day for a couple days in a row, and then the person disappears and they're like, did something happen? Do I reach out again? I once was talking nonstop with someone. We went on 3 awesome dates. They disappeared. So they wouldn't respond mm-hmm. to my text. And I thought, oh my gosh, they ghosted me. It turns out 6 months later, I get a text from them saying, I'm really sorry I disappeared. I got diagnosed with cancer and had been in the hospital struggling. So heartbreaking. But the lesson was, sometimes when people go silent, it's because something happened, but we don't ever get to know these things. And so I love the idea of you being there for that accountability piece where you can follow up and say, listen, it didn't go well. That's okay. Here's what happened. Here's what we can learn from it. And so people at least know. People want to know when it's over so that they can just move on, right? We often don't get that closure.
Absolutely. And I always say, you know, don't beat yourself up over this. Every date is leading to the right date. Every long-term relationship is leading to the right long-term relationship. So there are lessons to be learned in all of this. But you're right. I think ghosting is one of the rudest behaviors that has become the norm. And to me, I love the concept of being painfully honest. And that's what our feedback calls are, painfully honest. Just say it. How did you feel? What are you seeking? And how was this not a match for you? That's okay. Everything that you've shared is leading us to the right match.
Totally. Because you learn more about each client you work with when things don't go well, just like you do when they do go well, right? Because you learn what they don't want, what they might want. And I love what you just said, because I always give that same advice that sometimes the most loving thing can be the most painful thing. And to tell someone, I'm sorry, I didn't feel the chemistry, the match wasn't there, I want something different. Hard to say, hard to hear, but that's the most loving thing, because we all then know we can move on with our lives and like start seeing someone else.
Absolutely. And it happened to me when I was a matchmaking client. I had a date, 4 dates with a great guy in Austin, Texas. And after the 4th date, we're leaving Whole Foods where we had had a lovely lunch. And he said, Tammy, I just don't see this becoming romantic. And at first I thought, ooh, sting, ouch. But then by the time I got in my car and was driving off, I thought, how honest and just forthright. And I like that guy even more. I would recommend him to a girlfriend. You know, how
yeah.
nice.
Because that's integrity. Like that honesty is a lot of integrity.
Absolutely. And it was kind. It was to my face. And it was, it's a characteristic I want in a man.
So do you have in your office, like I imagine your office having like these like Polaroid photos of all the happy couples that have like circled back and kept in touch. Cause I know as a therapist, when I work with someone deeply like you do, I often wonder and want to know what's going on in the future of their journey. And I don't often get to be privy to that. Do you get brought back into people's lives where they circle back and let you know and give you updates?
Absolutely. I'm looking at literally a postcard from France. Mm. 2 women that we introduced went to France to meet the other side of the family before getting engaged.
Aww.
And so they do. Sometimes they keep us up with what's going on. Sometimes they don't want to admit that they met through a matchmaker. And we're fine with that, too. To us, it's karma. And it's paying it forward. And if they tell other friends eventually that they met through a matchmaker, that's all the things that we need.
Oh, I love that. So tell people where they can find you and your company for those that are listening and want to get on the matchmaking, which based on everything you're telling me, I think is such a phenomenal, phenomenal thing. Where can people find you?
Thank you. It's H4M.com, H4M.com, or we have a number, toll-free number that we answer live, and it's 855-443-7463. So H4M.com, and you can talk to a matchmaker live. Even if it's not for you, we really want folks this week to know that you should be hopeful about love in 2019. And even if you want to call us for 5 minutes, we're going to remind you of that. It's not about you becoming our client. It's about you having hope in your heart.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for your time. All right, you're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on Channel Q and Radio.com. And when we come back, we're going to have Margie Plus. We'll see you in a minute.
Call Loveline now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Loveline. We'll be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
We're back. You're listening to Loveline on Channel Q and Radio.com and on your smart speaker. That's right. If you hit up Alexa, you can listen to us from your car, into your home, and even bring me into your bedroom. You just got to say, hey, Alexa, play Channel Q on Radio.com, and I will be with you in your home. How lovely is that? More importantly, though, this Thursday, Loveline's hookup party at the world-famous Iconic Abbey here in West Hollywood. And we are going to be giving away tonight two $100 gift cards right now. And on Thursday, I'm going to be giving away two tickets to the Robin Show, so come on out. But tonight, now, give us a call, and the fifth caller gets the two $100 gift cards at the Abbey. Our number, 833-LOVE-001, 833-LOVE-001. And I'm going to be giving away some of those tomorrow, too. All right, so get up on that. I want to see you guys Thursday night. Be my dates. Maybe I'll make out with you. Okay, we're going to slide on into the DMs. All right, tonight's a really good one. Tonight's actually one that I hear in my office more often than I want to. So listen up, y'all. Dear Dr. Chris, I don't fake orgasms with my husband. I don't know if he thinks I'm even having one, but I never do. Is it too late to bring this up after 20 years of marriage? Number one, that breaks my heart. That's not as uncommon as some listeners might think. Some people are probably going, what? So unfortunately, there's a lot of people that have never felt confident or willing to express their true sexuality to their partner. And I'm not putting that responsibility on that person not expressing. I'm putting it on the relationship. I'm putting it on culture. There's a lot of women that have never asked for the kind of sex they need to get them to orgasm, whether it's because of body shame or their partner doesn't seem interested or their partner is selfish or whatever the reasons are. When you tell your partner, especially your partner of 20 years, what you need and want sexually, that's an act of care for yourself, self-love, and also your relationship, because you're basically saying, I value this. I value us. I want to be closer. I want to be connected. I want to be known. And I want people to take more responsibility in 2019 and prioritize their own pleasure. Make sex about you. What do you want and what do you need? Let your partner worry about themselves, but ask for what you want. Center your own desire. Don't worry about whether or not they get off. Worry about yourself. Guys, we got to focus more on the women. Women focus on the women. Everyone focus on the women. So no, after 20 years, it's never too late. It's always a beautiful act of care and commitment to share with your partners what you want, who you are sexually. Because again, it's the most vulnerable private part of ourselves. And we don't bring that many people into that. And so if someone takes that to you, don't be insecure. Don't be hard on yourself. If they tell you that what you've been doing hasn't been working, say thank you. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. All right, so that's that. When we come back from the break, we're going to have Margie Plus, musician, activist, style icon. Hope you're ready for this one. She's a whole lot of fun. And call us, 833-LOVE-001. We're giving out those two $100 gift cards to the Abbey. Take a little break, and we'll be right back.
Call Loveline now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Loveline. We'll be right back. Loveline.